Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a couple hours since I last saw you.
Yes, how are you? Not very long since we've seen each other. I'm doing fantastically this morning. Michelle Knezovic, good morning. How are you doing?
Guys, doing good, but it is freezing outside. I feel like it just dropped like 20 degrees from last week, and I'm not ready for this winter weather. So stay warm today, everyone.
Let me just tell you, I looked at my phone last night, Joe, when I got home from the hockey game, and I knew like Thursday night, Friday morning, Saturday, all going to be pretty cold. But out here in northern Goodlettsville, southern Robertson County, I looked at what my Weather Channel app said, and Thursday night, apparently a low of 2 degrees out here. So looking forward to that one. Really going to be a lot of fun coming up later this week.
Well, that sucks to be you because I'm looking at it right now, and here in Nolensville, nice southern Nolensville, it's a only low of 3.
Oh,
so we're gonna be a full tick ahead of you there.
Well, listen, I don't want to hear it because I'm going to be in New York, guys. So just probably add couple degrees to that and snow and freezing wind and everything if I get out of here and my flight gets out, so fingers crossed on that.
Love this time of year. It's great.
At least you get snow.
Hey,
I'm seen... good.
Guess there's a chance maybe at some point we could get some of that. We'll see what happens on that front, but not looking forward to the cold weather coming up a little bit later this week. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll be joined by Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock, Gentry Estes from the Tennessean at 8, and Willie Donick joining the show at 9:30. We'll be a lot into the Titans and the Preds today, and we begin on the Nashville Predators. They win last night. They snapped their 6-game losing streak by taking down Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. Preds win 4-3 last night. And Joe, the thing that stands out to me is offensively, they look like they had a pulse last night, and they were moving the puck around really well. 3 goals from defensemen, which I'd have to go back and look. That's got to be the first time this year they've had a game where 3 different defensemen have scored a goal in the game. Ekholm scores last night. Obviously, Jordan Gross scores. And then Alex Carrier gets the game winner in overtime. So good to see him back in the lineup last night. But Preds getting some things done offensively and not letting Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl absolutely take over last night, although McDavid did end up with 2 primary assists.
Yeah, it was a good performance. It was a fun hockey game. It was a good performance. Yeah, McDavid looked like McDavid. Draisaitl didn't look as much like Draisaitl as we're used to, as we expected. You know, you get that power play goal, and I mean, even Hines was kind of laughing, you know, joking after the game about that, talking about, you know, a win, you know, they needed a win, obviously, but also, is it a win? I mean, John Hines believed it's a win that it wasn't fluky, I guess would probably be the way to paraphrase what he was saying, right? Like, that's kind of stuff they were working on kind of came to fruition and led to the win. So they're obviously hoping they can build on it. But then, you know, he's like, any power play goal, we'll take that. And, of course, Matt Duchene gets it. So there's a lot of things that, like, they've needed that they haven't had much of at all that they got last night. And I'll tell you this, too, Robbie. We talked about this, but, you know, I wasn't sure what the atmosphere would be like. And it is it's kids are off for break right now and stuff. So, there's more kids that can go to games. But actually, it turned out to be, I thought, a good atmosphere, too.
Yeah. No, it was a good environment last night in Bridgestone Arena, and the Predators get the win. Beyond just the win, which, of course, they needed to get when you're on a 6-game losing streak of any kind, I think the offensive performance last night was as good as I've seen from this team in a while, beyond just the four goals part of it, like just the execution, what they look like in the offensive zone, the attack odd man rushes that they generated last night. I thought it was pretty good for the most part. And I do wonder if that's something you can build on as you move forward. And, you know, we talked to Matthias Ekholm last night about that and a little bit more. Here's what Matthias Ekholm, Predators defenseman, had to say.
Paul here after a little bit of a skid, just sure emotions are a little bit higher right after a win like that.
Yeah, that was I thought it was a gutsy win by us. I thought we went out and took it. We've had some poor efforts us of late. Not, I mean, necessarily the two last games have been decent, but tonight I felt like we didn't just hold on. I think we went out and we actually played a really good game, and we deserved the win. So that was the most exciting part. But obviously when you get on a skid a little bit, you just need to dig one out. And I thought, obviously you can feel it in the room when you get in, that was a really good and big win for us and for the group moving forward here with Christmas coming up. We got two huge games coming up, but we can stay on track and play like this. I think there's big chances we can do some damage here.
You talked about generating more offense. What do you think the key was to doing that tonight against Edmonton?
I thought we played fast, honestly, and I thought we played we didn't wait for anything. We know we've played this team a lot lately, I feel like, and we know their big guys have been really successful against us. And I thought tonight we really took it to them. We didn't sit back. We didn't wait for them to come and spend time in our zone. We right off the bat just got going in their zone, and I thought we executed on plays and we played with speed. So I thought this was probably one of the better games all year as offensive production and offensive life and jump and just getting on the forecheck and creating offense. So I again, it was a huge step in the right direction for us.
How much of a boost of energy can just that be beyond just the win?
No, I mean, tremendous. And for myself too, just playing against those two guys, and it hasn't been too much success as of late. So just to have them to, I know they had zero shots after two, and not, I mean, they get the power play, they're really dangerous there, but at least when we play them 5-on-5, we did that to successful. So I think the whole team can take a lot of a win like this.
We've got Matt in the stall also. Anything else, Greg?
Cool.
That was Predators defenseman Matthias Ekholm after the game last night. And, Joe, I kind of referred to him as the Kevin Byard of the Predators from the standpoint of, like, if you need some honest assessment, go to Matthias Ekholm, because most of the time he's going to give it to you. And, you know, it was interesting to get his perspective on it last night, just because – you know, he talked about the offense, maybe that being one of the top performances of the year, just in terms of not only the goal total, but the execution. And one thing that he brought up there that I talk about all the time, and we talked about it a little bit last week, this idea of the Predators being too slow or not being able to play fast or not being fast enough for some of these other teams. And look, there were still some moments last night where you looked at McDavid wheeling around out there, and we're just like, man, I don't know what you do with that. But by and large, like, the Predators to me look like the faster team last night than Edmonton did. And I think a lot of that is you're whipping the puck, you're making decisions decisively, and you're getting your execution to a level which they hadn't been at a whole lot this year. Like, I thought the passes were good last night. There weren't a whole lot of fumbled opportunities for the Predators. They knew where they were going to go with the puck. They went there, and they moved up quickly in transition. And you don't have to be the quickest team in the world with foot speed to play fast. And I thought the Predators played fast last night.
Yeah, and Hines talked about what, you know, how they've been working on the, you know, gathering speed, you know, without the puck, you know, to try to have that through the neutral zone. But like you said, I mean, if you execute, then it looks fast, right? If you actually pass the puck to each other, you know, then you don't have to, you know, reach back for the puck, and, you know, I mean, you can play faster. So they did that, and they also got a lot of zone time. You know, that times they established the forecheck. I didn't look at what the third period numbers were, but I thought in the third period, you know, they did not defend a ton. You know, Edmonton had to defend a lot more in the third period. You know, then I thought maybe once it went to overtime, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even as fast as those guys are, you know, a guy like McDavid in 3-on-3 is even scarier, right? So you're like, well, you know, they didn't get that goal that they looked like they kind of earned in the third period to win it in regulation. But then you get Alex Carrier ripping one, so why not?
Yeah, that was a great shot by Carrier, by the way. I mean, it's kind of like a half no look shot that he had out there. Just great stuff from Carrier. And look, I was, you know, we were talking about this at the game last night. Jack Campbell in goal for Edmonton is just, I don't know if cheeks is the correct word, but he is not very good. And the Predators, you know, they started shooting the puck early, and you could tell, like, even the shots that weren't going in, he was having some difficulty with. And look, he made some big saves last night. I'm not saying he didn't, but the Predators, I think, did a good job of just shooting the puck for the most part. They still passed up more shots than I would have liked last night, but for the most part, did a pretty good job of shooting the puck, which that'll help your offense too.
Yeah, he's a little shaky. I don't know if he's cheeks. Maybe he's cheeksy. How about that?
Cheeksy. I like that. Cheeksy. We're off and running here today. By the way, Chuck on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I want to see that effort from the Predators over like a 20-game span. This team will look good for one game and then be completely flat for the next one. That's from Chuck on the text line. That's fair.
Totally fair.
They do have Chicago coming up on Wednesday, so that is a game that, make no mistake about it, this Predators team needs to win. You need to win against Chicago tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta build on it. And frankly, when you need to build on a win, tell me what's better for you than the Chicago Blackhawks right now.
Not much. I don't think there's any question about that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds' win last night against Edmonton. What did you think of it? And what do you think it could mean for this Predators team as they move forward? We'll get into that. We'll also get into some interesting comments from Predators head coach John Hines last night as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Taking your thoughts on the Preds. They get a big win last night, 4-3 in overtime against the Edmonton Oilers. And Joe, like we talked about, Connor McDavid ends up with two assists last night and two really good plays by him. Leon Draisaitl held off the score sheet last night, and that's not something that typically happens when McDavid and Draisaitl play against the Predators. You know, I think McDavid has had 4 points in both games against the Predators this year, and I want to say Draisaitl has had 5 in both of them, and I'll go back and double-check. He had 5 for sure in the last one, and they have just lit up the Predators really every time they've seen them the last couple of years. And the Predators able to limit them, especially at 5-on-5 last night in their 4-3 win. And John Hines had some very interesting comments on that after the game, and specifically with who he gave credit to being able to come in and do that last night. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say about their ability to shut down Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
What was the key to holding McDavid and Draisaitl in check tonight, especially 5-on-5?
You know what, I would give a lot of props to Cody Glass. You know, like, this is a guy for me that, you know, earlier in the year, well, first of all, to answer your question, Glass's line basically played against him the whole night. I thought he was excellent. I thought Nino was great. I thought Tanner and Janot were really good. They were able to attack and make those guys defend, so they didn't have to defend all night. But their attention to detail up the ice, whether it's in our neutral zone forecheck or coming out of the offensive zone, they were on top of those guys. So it wasn't like you saw a lot of those plays where they generate a ton of offense coming from out of their own end with speed. And I think going into the third period, I don't think McDavid had a shot on net. So, you know, I give those guys a lot of credit as a line. But you talk about the development of a younger guy. You know, early in the year, we put Cody up in that style of role, and he wasn't ready for it. And he learned some lessons, stuck with it, came back, and now you look at his game and his confidence level that he can go against that line. And he wants to be out on the ice. His face-offs were good. He's skating. And, you know, that's a guy that we know can play, but sometimes guys aren't ready to be in those certain roles because they're human beings and they're trying to get up and running. But it's really nice to see him play the way he did tonight. And if we can get him continuing to play the way he's playing, I think he's going to make our team a lot better.
That was John Hines after the game last night on Cody Glass. And I thought some really interesting comments there on Cody Glass. We talked about it earlier this year. He got put in a top six role and was given some pretty big responsibility. Wasn't quite ready for it, at least didn't play like he was ready for it. And now, last night, like you said, he's going up against McDavid, Draisaitl in that line basically the whole game with Nino Niederreiter and Tanner Jeannot. And look, I mean, the results are what they are, Joe, especially at 5-on-5. Those guys did a really good job last night against that line.
Yeah, that was really interesting. To me, even beyond the McDavid Draisaitl angle of it, because we've been talking about the various young guys who, really it's just part of a disappointing season so far has also been really disappointing on that front, right? And yep. That was some real insight into the situation with Glass. And I got to say, along with what Hines was talking about, I just feel like lately you see some real jump from Glass, some creativity out there. It just seems like there's more confidence and playmaking potential there. So they need that to now, not fall off, and him, but also that, they need him to, to maintain a big role and keep playing like that. So far, I mean, Parson is sticking, and I thought there were some good things for him last night too, but that's what they need, is they need some of these young guys to really, to get some consistency and stick and have these bigger roles. This team obviously needs more help, but I thought that was really interesting insight. And clearly that was part of the story with him early in the season. And so maybe he's got some stuff figured out and he's actually going to make a difference here, consistently.
Yeah. Look, Jay Moore pointed this out on the post game show last night. I mean, Cody Glass, especially early in the game, was winning a lot of faceoffs against McDavid last night. And finally the Oilers got to the point where I don't know if this was a Connor McDavid decision or if this was an Oilers decision overall, but they basically just said, yeah, you're not taking faceoffs anymore. Draisaitl will. And I think Glass finished 7 of 11 in the faceoff circle, which is pretty good. 7 wins, 4 losses in that game. So you'll take that part of it. Obviously, defensively, that line did a pretty good job. I mean, the next step for a guy like Cody Glass would be to finish on some of these opportunities that he's getting. I think he's got 2 goals on the season and 6 points. So offensively, the next step is to generate some, and not only generate some looks, which I think he's done a pretty good job lately of doing, but finish on some of these plays as well. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be a pretty encouraging night for Cody Glass. And, I know that Predators fans, some of them hearing this, will be like, great, they've turned Cody Glass into some defensive forward shutdown center. And I don't think that's necessarily has to be the case. I think part of your responsibility, Joe, though, when you are a top center, is to be able to shut down and play well defensively against the other team. And I'm not saying that Cody Glass has like fully arrived at that yet, but last night was pretty darn impressive, I will say.
Yeah. And look, it's also, I mean, the best way to defend, to match up with those guys is to make them play defense and to, do good things in the offensive zone. I thought that line did some of that too. So that's also part of it. Yeah. I mean, it's, Tolvanen's gone and Tomasino's not here. And, we've gone over all these things a lot. And I was wondering after the great story of making the team an early, play for Glass, you're like, okay, so what happened there? What keeps happening with these guys? So now here, there was a little peek behind the curtain, at what Hines is looking for. And yes, people get upset because obviously there's a lot that Hines demands of people. And I guess you could argue that, does that diminish what they do best? I mean, I don't know that I necessarily buy that, but I understand the line of thinking there. But regardless, now it's on Cody Glass, to keep this going.
Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, what a fantastic game. I took my dad for his 88th birthday, and we were both surprised. Where have these guys been all year? And by the way, that was the first time I've seen Draisaitl up close. He does a relatively decent job of impersonating a human, but his insectoid limbs give him away. This from Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, that took a turn.
That took a big turn. I thought I thought Draisaitl, as you well know, Joe, not much coming out of Draisaitl last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, he had some opportunities, but it did not look like it has looked recently. It's looked like the guy's just the greatest hockey player to ever exist against the Preds. Johnny, our buddy Johnny De Silveira, says, I wouldn't have believed it if I'd seen it for myself. That Hyman, Leon, and McDavid didn't score a single goal. I have to imagine that screwed up a lot of hockey parlays last night.
Yeah, I would have to imagine that would be the case as well. So, Joe, the question is, if you're the Predators, how do you move forward from this? I mean, at the end of the day, it's a really impressive win, and it was good that they got it. But it's one win. How do you move forward from this? You've got Chicago Wednesday, and then right after that, you got the Colorado Avalanche on Friday and Dallas coming in here next week. So two teams that are very good, two teams that are ahead of you in the standings in the Central Division. And look, I mean, you can't just chalk up Chicago as a win. You need to make sure you go out there and take care of business if you're the Predators. Like, that's a game that you can't afford to screw around and drop coming up on Wednesday. How do you build on it? That's going to be the question, because the Predators haven't really been able to establish much momentum so far this year. They were playing well a couple of weeks ago when they got back from that Western road trip and got on the run of at least collecting points at home. But can you get back to that? Because you've dug yourself in a hole where you need to go on a little bit of a streak here if you're the Predators.
Well, you have to beat Chicago. You lose to Chicago and we'll go right back to that was just an aberration. Last night's an aberration if you lose to Chicago. So you have to get a second win in a row. And then to me, you got to win one of those two that you just mentioned too. You know, I mean, you got, like you said, you're in a hole. You got to start going the other way. I mean, last night was big for whatever you want to call it, stopping the bleeding, stopping the negativity. It just keeps mounting and multiplying on itself. You know, the more you keep losing. So you stop that. It was a feel good night. You could tell, I thought, you know, in the locker room, like some bit of, I think, relief, you know. I mean, I think Ekholm that we played earlier was, you know, he spoke to it pretty well. I mean, they badly needed that, you know, Hines badly needed that. And so, yeah, you have to win tomorrow. They start there. I mean, and then you have to, then you have a tiny little bit of momentum, two in a row, that you try to spin into the tougher games. But you're going to have to make up for, look, this team just doesn't have, you know, a lot of wins over quality teams this year, and that's going to have to change really quickly.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans and get into a conversation that we got a little bit into yesterday. And Titans fans, we want to hear from you. What do you want the Titans to do as they move forward here? Do you want them to run it back with this same group next year? Do you want the Titans to rebuild? Hit us up on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. And just a couple days until Christmas. And if you want a little extra money, Superbook is going to help you do that, because they are going to help you make your parlays pop this holiday season. Win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. So listen, it's very simple. This is all you have to do. Place a three-team football parlay, and Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher to your holiday bonus, courtesy of Superbook Sports. Coming up on Thursday, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets. The Jags are on a roll right now, and they're fighting to win the AFC South, just one game behind the Titans. So listen, I'm going to take the Jags plus the one. Also, we got the Atlanta Falcons and the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are favored by 7.5. Without Lamar Jackson, I just think that line is a little too big. So give me the Atlanta Falcons plus the 7.5. And then finally, we've got the Buffalo Bills and the Chicago Bears. It's a 9-point game, but it is supposed to be absolutely freezing in Chicago on Christmas Eve. So give me the Bears plus the 9. So rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And we want to hear from Titans fans today. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. What do you want the path to be for the Titans as they move forward here after this season? Whenever that ends, maybe it ends before the playoffs. Maybe it ends during the playoffs. Who knows, Joe? Maybe it ends with a Super Bowl parade marching down Broadway. We'll have to wait and see what happens on the Titans run. But whenever it ends, what do you want the plan to be if you're a Titans fan? Do you want to run it back with most of the same core and try to win again next year? Do you want the Titans to go ahead and rebuild? Hit up our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, how y'all doing, Robbie?
Good, man.
Pretty much a rebuild, Robbie. I mean, Robbie, have you ever wondered how many guys on their roster could be starters for other teams? It's not many of them, man. Tannehill would probably be a backup. I mean, offensive line is pathetic. They got a lot of holes to fill on that team. But Robbie, I wanted to ask you a question before I get ready to go. I know you're not a big fan of Goff up in Detroit, but Goff is putting up some good numbers, Robbie. You have to admit it.
I do. He's playing well. There's no question about it. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. I mean, Jared Goff is playing well for the Detroit Lions, as much as Joe Rexroad refuses to admit it. As far as the other point about not having a lot of players that would start on other teams, I mean, I disagree with that. Like, Ryan Tannehill is a starting-level NFL quarterback. The question is Ryan Tannehill good enough to win a Super Bowl? Is Ryan Tannehill good enough to win a Super Bowl with this team? I mean, the offensive line, Joe, as he points out, is a mess. And I'm not saying they don't have holes to fill, because they do, as they look at this roster. But, I mean, they've got several starting caliber players at the NFL level.
Yeah. I mean, more of them are on defense.
Correct.
You
know,
but there's a ton of defensive players on the Tennessee Titans who would start and be standouts on a lot of other NFL teams. And yeah, Tannehill would be the starting quarterback for, well, a good half the league, right?
Yeah.
He's starting quarterback for about half the league. He wouldn't start, obviously, at places that have better quarterbacks than him, but there are a lot of places that don't. And by the way, for a minute there, I thought he said, "Why aren't you a golf fan, Robbie?" I'm like, oh, we're getting into golf now.
Let the record show, yeah. I am a golf fan.
Yes, definitely a bigger golf fan than me. You are, I will say, Jared Goff is playing well. Jared Goff and Tannehill are in, I'd say they're in the neighborhood. You know, maybe you and Jared should resume this argument.
Maybe so. He's played well this year. I can't deny it. I cannot deny it. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ken from Waverly texting in says, it's time to start rebuilding. Start with Vrabel. Either move him up or move him out. Trade Henry while he's still worth something. He's about to decline big time. Chuck on the text line says, I'll take the pain of a rebuild. Watching them squeeze into the playoffs again without a team that can actually compete with top teams is just too much. This from Chuck on the text line.
Okay, I'd like to – here's something that's this is almost building toward a rant here on the Derrick Henry thing.
Okay.
Couple of things on that. First of all, Derrick Henry has gone down a tick. He's going to get about 1,600 yards this year. Okay. I mean, he's at 1,300 right now, three games. I feel pretty good about him getting – yeah, about 300 more, you know, right in there.
My God, he might run for 250 against the Texans this weekend, if history's any indication.
He might. Now, I have real questions about whether his quarterback is going to be there with him. But then again, that didn't stop him from doing it first time around. But beyond that, I mean, you know, so we could agree that he's gone down a tick, but this, I feel like that's exaggerated, but please, like the whole trade Henry, what do you think you're getting for Derrick Henry right now?
Not a lot. I mean,
you're not getting a ton for Derrick Henry. Maybe there's one particular team out there. Again, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but this is how the NFL works. If you're an NFL player who isn't like a young star, okay, then like you're fetching a fifth, maybe I mean, something like that, you know, and those picks can be valuable, but I think people are out there thinking he's going to get you some kind of a high pick or something. That's just absolutely not happening. So trading him is not, there's really no, there's very little value in that. He's got another year left on his deal, and that's, but that is a big question, and maybe it would be doing him a favor if you actually are going to do the rebuild thing. Because obviously Derrick Henry, there's a lot of guys on this team who, like Kevin Byard, you know, they don't want to hang around, you know, they don't want to go through that. By the way, there's another guy like Kevin Byard at his age, at his cap hit, you're not getting anything for trading him either. Okay.
Right.
And he just it trades in the NFL of players who are, who have big cap numbers and who are not, again, like entering the prime of their careers, will not get you a thing.
Alex from Montreal on the text line says, my question would be, is Vrabel or would Vrabel want to stay here for a rebuild? Is he that type of coach? Personally, I want to rebuild the team that has depth, build for long-term success. This from Alex from Montreal on the text line. And Joe, we brought that up yesterday. Like, I do wonder what would Mike Vrabel's approach B, if that was the route that Amy Adams Strunk ultimately decided that she want to go, or the new GM, when they hired the new GM that they wanted to go, what would Mike Vrabel's thoughts or response be on that front? I don't know what they would be, but that'd be interesting to find out.
Well, I think Mike Vrabel would probably continue to take his very large salary to coach football. I mean, how many times has he said, we're going to be here for a long time. He said we, of course, he didn't realize that John Robinson actually would only be here for a few more months. But he said that on draft night too. And if that's your plan, if that's your stated plan, he knows the NFL quite well. And yes, he was basically in a recession proof situation in New England with Tom Brady at quarterback. Although even that team had, they did have steps back during that time period. But he certainly understands that there are going to have to be rebuilds, right? And he certainly understands that the next quarterback has to be determined. So Vrabel, I think Vrabel's in it for the long haul if he's not at Ohio State.
There is that. Keith from Bowling Green says, no rebuild, but get an offensive line. I got another texter, Daniel from Dover, says, if Vrabel refuses to get rid of Downing, Vrabel has to go too. Let the rebuild begin. So at least one vote so far for not having a rebuild. Way to go, Keith from Bowling Green.
Yeah, I do wonder if this one, this is one of those, you know, I'd love the full fan base poll if we could somehow pull it off, because I think it would probably be, I think there'd be a lot of both.
Bless you, Joe.
Thank you. And how about that muting?
That's good.
I do think that people, they like the sound of it now, but then when you go through it, you're like, oh, this sucks. It's like with the Preds too, you know? It's like, tear it down, and I'll see it Bridgestone in 4 years, you know? I mean, so it's like, just do you want to go through that? It is different in the NFL because it can be fast. It should be fast. It shouldn't be all that long. It's just a matter. I mean, it really comes down to what's your long-term plan at quarterback. And that the case for the rebuild is the 2024 quarterbacks, the two guys in particular, Drake May, Caleb Williams. I think both of them could be special. So can you get yourself – the problem is that this team has a lot of good elements to it, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Might be too good to be too bad to be close to those guys. But if you're somewhere up there, you know, do you have an ability to trade up? How many other teams are going to be in the market for a quarterback at that point? A lot of questions around that.
Well, and the other part of this, Joe, is we talked about this yesterday. If you make – some moves and they work out for you in the offseason, you're not really that far away, I don't think, from being a good team again. Now, are you going to be better than Buffalo? Are you going to be better than Cincinnati, Kansas City? I have my doubts. But you're not that far away if you add a couple of pieces in the offseason that go well from being a good team. And, of course, if you can stay healthy next year, which surely at some point the law of averages for the Titans would dictate that that's the case. I guess we'll wait and see what happens on that front. But, you know, like Sam on the text line says, you keep the core group, add pieces that are a definite need, figure out how to stay healthy. At my age, no time for a complete rebuild. Like yesterday, what is it going to take this offseason? Couple of moves on the offensive line for sure, and I would include tackle and guard in those moves. You definitely need at least one, maybe more than one, wide receiver to add to the mix as well. And defensively, a lot of it's just about staying healthy. You got to get the Jeffrey Simmons situation figured out, David Long Jr., his contract situation figured out. You know, obviously those two things are important, but you have to get those figured out. And at some point, Joe, you brought this up yesterday, and it's something that'll be overlooked, but it shouldn't be. You got to upgrade a kicker too, because Randy Bullock, I think, has done a fine job for the most part, but you need to have a kicker in there that can make a kick for 50 yards or over.
Yeah, you do. And actually, there's just an explosion on the text line of anti-rebuild sentiment. So there you go.
There we go.
Now, one question, which is interesting, trade Simmons if you rebuild? I would argue no. Because again, like, and there's some competitive rebuild jokes too, mini rebuild. That's what the NFL should be. I mean, if the teams that go into long stretches of being bad, Detroit, are just mismanaged, you know? So if you draft well, that's the lifeblood, you know, of good teams. So look at the Jaguars. I mean, they had enough high picks. They finally like got enough right, and they look pretty good right now.
They do. 615-737-1025. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. What should the plan for the Titans be as they move forward? Should they rebuild after this year, or should they run it back and try to add in the offseason? Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on a lot of the issues facing the Tennessee Titans as well. Looking forward to that conversation. Samantha on the text line says, I don't think we need a full rebuild. I think we need to fill some roles like the offensive line and some receivers. I think a lot of people are looking at just Tannehill and Henry, but you also have to look at what's around them and what they have to work with. This from Samantha in Brentwood. And to that point, Joe, I mean, a lot of guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, this is a team that's built to win now, with Harold Landry coming back next year and Jeffrey Simmons and Kevin Byard and David Long Jr. I mean, you can go up and down the list of guys that are built on this defense to win right now. So how much should that factor in to the decision making when it comes to what direction to go if you're the Titans? It's beyond just Tannehill and Henry, as Samantha points out.
No, it is, but I still think that they're central to the question. You know, it's what do you think Henry is next year? Do you believe, you know, I mean, to me it's like, he's gotten past the foot. He's had a good year. He has not had he's not peak Derrick Henry of 2 years ago or even of like early last year. But to me, if you believe next year he can be what he is this year, that's pretty good. I think if you believe that, that's an argument in favor of retooling. And then Tannehill too. Is it worth, do you want to take one more run with him? The playoff question with him is still right there, just like it's always been. Anybody who thinks he hasn't, you know, been good this year or impressive, I don't know, man. I disagree strongly. I think that he's dealt with a crap situation really well. He's also banged up again and again, and it's you can't stay healthy when you get hit as much as he is. But if you do shore up the offensive line, if you can find a left tackle who's good, you know, do you want another year of Tannehill to see what you can get done? I would not look to trade Jeffrey Simmons. because even if you're rebuilding, again, I think you can have very good years with him, and he's a great player. That's how I would look at it, but I don't know. I suppose a new GM could think differently about that.
Well, and like you said, Danico Autry, you've got Jeffrey Simmons, you've got Harold Landry coming back next year. I don't know what the future of Bud Dupree is going to look like. Like, look, right now, they're going to have to make some decisions next year and move on from some guys just because of their cap situation. I mean, if you're going to sign Jeffrey Simmons to a new contract, if you're going to have David Long Jr. with a new contract, like, I'm really interested to see, like, what does it look like for Bud Dupree? I mean, I think we know that Taylor Lewan is probably going to get cut. Now, will he come back under a pay cut? That's a different question. But there are going to be some changes to this roster next year anyway, regardless of which direction they go. The question is how much, and do you feel like you could still be a competitive team? Like, I do. Like, I feel like the Titans, if they can get healthy and they can add a couple of pieces, Joe, I feel like they're right back in there for competing for the AFC South next year. I don't know that they're going to be the favorite. We'll see how the season closes out here. And if Trevor Lawrence continues to play the way that he's played the last 3-4 weeks, you're going to see a lot of people picking the Jags to win the division next year. So we'll see. But I think in a perfect world, like, if the Titans can come back and they can add to this group that they've got right now with some subtractions that'll be there regardless of which route you go. I mean, I still think the path to being a good playoff team that has a chance to win this division again is there for the Titans. Is that the path you want to go?
A-Man of Strunk fired John Robinson and said she's looking for more. So,
she is.
I mean, I think her move would, to me, suggest that the rebuild path is alive as a possibility. David from Columbia says, the Titans leading the AFC South was like being the smartest kid in summer school. They will waste the last of Henry's prime. Should have kept AJ. Time to rebuild. Well, should have kept AJ. We can all agree on that one. But, no. I hope. Or I don't know. Maybe he's a cancer in the locker room. The Eagles seem to really be suffering from his personality. Cody brings up a good point. The problem with the rebuild is you have to be bad to get those draft picks. Vrabel might win some games, you know, that you don't expect to win. He says, I feel Vrabel to win a couple games with a good college team. Cody, let's not get me going on people thinking any college team would beat any NFL team, but I'll give you a pass on that one. No, please stop. But there's no tanking. Like, there's no coaches and there's no players in the NFL who are going to tank for you.
Right.
So if next year, if it's like, okay, obviously if they went this route and they went the route of Malik Willis, it's your season. Let's see what you got. I mean, you know, Vrabel understands, you know, the idea, but he's trying to win. And I don't think that ever changes. And they certainly could win more. That's the thing. Like, what if they did have a lucky health year? They get Landry back and they get all those guys back. Their defense, they'd start probably still win 7-8 games, you know, or they could. And then you're not in position to draft those guys. It's the timing on that stuff is tough. And like, it's just the getting yourself that bad would require trading away some players, or like, I guess not signing David Long, for example. Some moves that, you know, a couple years down the road when you could be good again, you want those guys.
Well, that's the thing. Like, going through a rebuild, Joe, to me, for it to be worth it, you got to be real bad. Like, you got to be really bad to make sure you're in a good spot to have a high draft pick and potentially pick what you think could be your quarterback of the future. Now, look, maybe it rolls around next year and the hype on Caleb Williams and Drake May isn't quite as high. Maybe it's higher. I don't know. All right, we're going to find out and see what happens on that front. But that's the thing. Like, in order to execute this the way you want to execute it, you'd have to be real bad. And I don't know if the Titans are going to have the ability to be that bad next year. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Josh. Josh, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, two things, man. I just want to touch on. First thing is people talking about trading Derrick Henry. That's ridiculous because Derrick Henry is the top 10 running back, and if you add in the pass catching that he's had this season, Like, you can't name 10 running backs in the NFL right now that's better than him. Second thing is the mediocrity of Ryan Tannehill. I mean, it's been proven plenty of times before that mediocre quarterbacks, Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, Joe Flacco, these guys had good defenses, and they went out and they had just enough play to win Super Bowl titles. So there's no way a rebuild could, I mean, the forecast can't call for that, man. It's just, it's crazy for people to even think that we're going to blow it up as much to trade these guys or to just completely rebuild. All those years of being diehard Titans fans and having to deal with 2-15 seasons and 2-14 seasons, nobody wants to go back and relive that. The Mike Munchak era, the Ken Whisenhunt era, nobody wants that. Thanks, fellas. Hey, thanks, I hang up with
appreciate you. I mean, Joe, there's been a resurgence for the non-rebuild fans. We started off with people wanting to rebuild left and right, and the non-rebuilders have come in with a force over the last 10 minutes.
Coming back strong, I'd say they've got the edge on this so far. And Josh makes a lot of good points there, but I don't know that nobody wants that because some people do. It's the question is, I think he makes all those fair points. We've talked about all those things, right? I mean, teams have won Super Bowls with good, not great quarterbacks. That is possible. Again, the only way this team does that is if they have a good offensive line again, which they don't. If they have good receivers again, which they don't. And then if they are great on defense, which I think is possible, but they would have health luck, but they sure as heck don't have that. But the argument for it, I understand the non-Wizenhunt and all that, but the best formula in this league is a great quarterback on a rookie contract. And all the other things you can do with your roster to do that. Like the Wizenhunt era, what if Mariota was great? He wasn't. But what if he was? That was out of the Wizenhunt era, they got that pick. It didn't work out. Neither did Jameis Winston. And that's the thing. It usually doesn't. It's a high likelihood that it won't. But you had a shot there. Is there not some appeal in having a shot at a quarterback like that? At some point, you've got to have your next plan at quarterback. And it's just a question of when. I mean, part of this discussion to me is because – the 2024 quarterbacks, I think, have a look of guys who could be special.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on this Titans discussion, get a little bit more into the Titans, including a very interesting press conference from Mike Vrabel yesterday as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.